We're so glad that you're here with us on this Back to Church Sunday. And whether it's your first time here or your first time in a long time or part of your regular routine, we're so glad that you're here today. If you are a guest, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I want to assure you that no matter where you are on your faith journey, please know that you matter and that you belong here. Life can be hard sometimes, can't it? It can be stressful, and at times it can be difficult to navigate this life on your own. However, when we walk through life together with honesty, with grace, we begin to see God working in us more clearly and feel his presence in our lives more deeply. The church, imperfect as we are, is meant to be a place where you experience God's love through community. Being part of a church family is not about having it all figured out, folks. It's about showing up, building a real connection, and discovering the hope, the healing, and the purpose that Jesus offers to each one of us. We believe that as we open our hearts to each other, we also open ourselves to the powerful work that God wants to do in us and through us. And that's why we believe that we are better together. Have you ever noticed that in life there are just some things that go better together? Like cookies and milk? Right? Cookies? Good. Milk? Good. But put them together, oh, something magical happens, right? What about movies and popcorn? Right? What is it about that? It could be the most mediocre movie, but you put popcorn in the mix? Oh my goodness, all of a sudden it elevates the whole experience, right? I like peanut butter and honey, or jelly for some of you. Beef and barbecues. Come on, Albertans. Batman and Robin. Beaches and sunsets. Bacon and, well, anything, right? Yeah, come on. What may exist as perfectly good things on their own become amazing winning combinations when they're put together, right? And as true as this principle is just in our random everyday lives, I believe it's also true, and maybe most true, when it comes to the relationships we invest in and the community that we exist in. Think about your favorite memories. Chances are those are your favorite memories, not because of what you were doing, but because of who you were with. That is the beauty of being a part of a church family. When we gather together as God's church, Jesus is present. And as we learn more about him and grow closer to him, we learn to work together, to serve in community, and focus on his priorities, not our preferences. This is the claim Jesus makes himself. It was recorded by Matthew, one of his original followers. He says, "Where two or three gather together because they are mine, I will be right there among them." Now, most churchgoers think that this is specifically talking about prayer. But this verse is actually part of a broader conversation where Jesus is teaching really about community life. Particularly, how his followers should deal with discipline, handle conflict, and seek reconciliation. Really as a way of honoring one another and honoring God. Jesus is making a very important point for us here, that no gathering is too small to matter to God. In fact, he went as far to say, "I will be with you always." Whether in a quiet living room, around a kitchen table, or in a church auditorium, Jesus promises to be with us when we come together with him at the center, like we just sang about. It's both an invitation and a promise. When we seek him together, he shows up. When we seek him together, he shows up. Jesus promises to be present when we gather in his name. And that presence is what makes church more than just a building, an organization. It's a community where we find encouragement, purpose, and hope together. So today I'm going to give you three formulas that explain why we grow better together. My hope is that this will help you decide to regularly attend church and engage in the life of the community, not just out of obligation, but out of a desire to actually grow together in faith. The first formula is this. If you got your outline, you plus me equals connection. No-brainer, right? From the very beginning, the Bible shows us that God designed us for relationships. In the first book called Genesis, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And he wasn't just talking about marriage here, I don't think. He was revealing a deep truth about our human nature. We are made in the image of a relational God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That means we are wired for community, not isolation. It's part of our DNA. We are meant to be connected to God. And in doing so, I think that's what helps us to have a deeper connection with one another. You know, there's an old story. You've probably heard it, about a man who stopped going to church. He didn't make a big deal about it. Just sort of slowly drifted away. One cold evening, his pastor stopped by for a visit. The man welcomed them in, and they just sort of sat by the fireplace in silence. After a few minutes, the pastor picked up the fire tongs, grabbed a coal from the burning hearth, and placed it just on the side. And as they watched, that coal glow slowly grow darker and darker and darker until it was cold, turning gray. Still no words were spoken. A few minutes later, the pastor takes that same coal, puts it back in the fire, and within moments, it begins to glow again, bright and hot. And the man turns to the pastor and said, "You can expect to see me back this Sunday." Folks, alone, we will cool off, cool down, grow cold. But together, we ignite each other. We stay passionate in our faith, and we glow brightly in this dark world. That's the power of connection and the kind of belonging that God actually designed us for. Now, we live in Alberta, right? Which is known for its independent spirit and its maverick attitude. But when we go Lone Ranger, we miss out on one of God's greatest gifts, each other. True connection helps us carry burdens, celebrate victories, and grow in our faith. As we live life together, we have the opportunity to reflect God's love in powerful ways. And the world can see the beauty of a Christ-centered community in action. You know, in the Old Testament portion of the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it speaks to the powerful truth, this powerful truth as well. Wise King Solomon wrote this. He said, two can accomplish more than twice as much as one, for the results can be much better. If one falls, the other pulls him up. If a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. Also, on a cold night, two under the same blanket gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? And one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, he says, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. It's interesting to me that a portion of what Solomon wrote about as wisdom, is concerning relationships here, right? He makes a simple observation. Two are better than one. And three are better than two. You know, I've heard that it's been said that alone, you can go fast. But together, you can go far. Life is not a sprint, folks. It's a marathon. And that's why we need each other. When we work together, we can accomplish more than we ever could alone. Life inevitably includes moments of failures, of weaknesses, but having someone to help in those times is absolutely invaluable. And being part of a community is what helps you make it through. I want to call Ryan Headley at this time. He's going to give just a short testimony of what community has meant for him, specifically Devon Community Church. Oh, you turned one up? Okay. That one's always on. Mute on the side, right there. Push it up.
Hello?
There we go. Sorry.
Technical difficulties, even though I'm the technical guy. Anyway, I'm Ryan. I know some of you know me. I see a lot of new faces here today, anyway, which is really nice. I've been coming to Devon Church for about a year and a half now. Over the past year, I've become more involved with the church. I'm on the worship team. I help with the sound and the technical stuff. Not this morning, but... for me, the church has kind of been really an anchor through like the highs and lows that I've gone through over the past couple years. When I first moved out to Devon, only a few months after that, I was in a fire where me and my family, we lost everything. And there's been a lot of kind of bumps in the road along the way. Besides that, my story's very, very long. You won't be able to sum it up here in a few minutes. But I think that goes for a lot of people. I think a lot of people have gone through a lot of heavy stuff for them. And, but the love and support and faith that this community has shown me has profoundly impacted my heart and my journey. Through successes, achievements, or even just my spiritual growth. This church has been here to celebrate that alongside me with genuine enthusiasm, care, and joy. In times when I've been struggling or been in doubt or gone through loss or just even uncertainty, the church sort of became my refuge. And here I was listened to without judgment, even during tough weeks where the devil was present, so to speak. I had strength renewed through prayer and through the church. The compassion that's been shown to me here through the hands and feet of Christ in action reflect... I'm losing myself here. Reflect this church, my heart, who I want to be, and I think what the world really needs now. Through Bible studies, late night conversations, I know Bailey's not here right now, but and simple acts of kindness, God's faithfulness and love can transform the darkest moments into light and hope, and I've definitely experienced that. This community's taught me the power of belonging, not just to attend the church, but to be part of like a living, breathing family that reflects God's love. They've challenged me to grow in my faith and serve others selflessly and to lean into grace when I fall short. Through every up and down, this community and this church has been more than a place of worship. It's been my home, my strength, and my family.
Amen. Thanks, Brian.
Good job.
Awesome. That's just one story. And thanks so much for sharing that. Two are better than one. Three is even better, Solomon said. And he uses this illustration, I believe, to communicate the need that we have to be in connection with one another. He says, one by themselves can be overpowered. Two can defend themselves better. But a cord of three strands is not easily broken, which brings us to our second formula for today. You plus me plus Jesus equals strength. Have you, has anybody ever had, bring them up, please. I want to show you something. Thank you. Oh, you got big ones. Thanks a lot. No. Anybody tell me what these are? Dowels, yes. Dowels are interesting things, right? Got some, I guess got a couple different sizes. A dowel is not very strong by itself. This is a danger spot. Apparently, that one's even worse. It's broken in two spots. By itself, one dowel is not very strong, right? Two dowels. Now everybody's going to be ducking. Two dowels. Definitely stronger, right? I miss the power team days. Anybody remember the power team? Denny and the power team. With two of them, still stronger than I look. But three, I don't know. Nope. Can't do it. You can't do it. Power team could do it. I'm a failure. No. The point is, folks, this is an illustration of the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, what Solomon was showing us, right? With this kind of strength of three of us being together or more, it equips us to be change agents and difference makers in the world around us, and they cannot come against us. They can't break us. The world cannot break us when we're together. I've seen the church rise to the occasion so many different times. To provide for others in need, to rebuild after tragedies, to offer hope to folks when times are really tough. In fact, the late Anglican priest, William Temple, once said, "The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." And that's exactly the kind of community Jesus calls us to be. A people who don't just gather for our own sake, but who exist to bring light, bring love, bring hope to a hurting world. We gather not to hide out, but to be sent out. Church isn't just about what happens in this building. It's about how we live day to day outside these walls. When we are together in Christ, we become a force for good, stronger together, shining God's love in every neighborhood, school, workplace, and community that we're in. The book of Hebrews is a letter written to the early Hebrew church, surprisingly. As it began to take shape and after Jesus, right after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and this group of Jewish followers of Jesus was being tempted to throw in the towel, we read, on their Christian community because of maybe persecution and pressure, the author writes a plea for those in the church to stay strong and continue to gather with one another. It says we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. The need's probably even greater today, folks. A lot greater. In the early church, the Bible tells us some of the followers of Jesus had stopped gathering together, perhaps out of fear, out of weariness, out of discouragement. But the author of Hebrews makes it clear that meeting together is not optional. It isn't optional. It's essential. Essential for staying spiritually strong. The Greek word translated as encourage in this passage actually goes beyond just our words. You can make it, you're good type thing. No, it actually suggests a kind of loving provocation, a challenge meant to push them to a deeper faithfulness. Some Bible translations use the word spur instead here. I like that. I like the image of this, especially here, right? In Alberta. Picture a cowboy putting on spurs on his boots, not to harm the horse, but to prompt it forward with energy, with purpose. Yeah. In the same way, as followers of Jesus, we're called to encourage, to prompt, and to inspire one another on, to spur one another on. The only way the early church could carry on the mission that Jesus had issued was by coming together again and again, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, staying united in purpose. It was about committing to each other, which brings us to our final formula. You plus me plus commitment equals community. Boy, I bet you wish I was your math teacher, right? These are pretty simple. Commitment, committing to each other, is what community is all about. It means more than just attending church when it's convenient. It's about making a decision to show up, to belong, to pour into others as much as we receive. The early church didn't gather out of habit or obligation. They gathered because they knew they needed each other. In the same way, we are called to be intentional with our relationships and consistent in our attendance. Intentional with our relationships and consistent in our attendance. True community happens when we move beyond surface level connection and into a deep, Spirit-led relationship where we can be known, we can be challenged, and we can be encouraged by one another. In the book Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes about his time leading a secret seminary during Nazi Germany. It was a small, tight-knit community of young men training for ministry under extreme times, extreme pressure, and extreme threat. Life was simple, often difficult, but rich with spiritual depth. They shared meals, it says, prayers, scripture, and confessions together. One day, someone asked Bonhoeffer why he insisted on maintaining such a close-knit Christian community in such a dangerous time. He replied that the gift of being together in Christ was not something to be taken for granted. It was a divine blessing that many Christians throughout history had longed for and gone without. Bonhoeffer believed that being with other followers of Jesus, even in suffering, was essential to faithfulness. He wrote, "The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer." So when we commit to community, we are saying yes to that kind of growth. That which only happens in the context of real people doing real life together. And in doing so, we become part of something bigger than ourselves. A movement. We become part of a movement of love, grace, and truth that reflects the very heart of Jesus to this world. So we don't just attend, we belong. We don't just visit, we invest. And being a part of a community isn't about convenience. It's about a calling to a heavenly family. And as we've gathered this morning, I want to encourage you to consider making a commitment to this church, obviously, but to find a church, to make a place that you can truly call home. If you're new today, I don't believe it's by accident that you're here. We believe that we are better together, and that includes you. This church is not just a building, it's a family where we support, grow, and encourage one another. So take a step today. I know, maybe consider joining one of our small groups. Sundays are important, but small groups are where deep relationships are formed, where you can share life, pray together, grow in your faith. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have some sign-up sheets and stuff like that out in the foyer, talk about the different ministries and stuff where you can sign up for or volunteer for. We have new groups, or groups for newcomers. We have, for those just exploring their faith, we have Alpha Group, which will be starting, which is a great place for those folks. There are groups for men. There's a group study starting at the end of the month for men. That women started, I think they're starting this week. We've got groups for couples, seniors, young adults, groups open for anyone. The other side of that same coin is consider serving in one of the areas of the church, on a hospitality team, music team, kids team, coffee team, prayer team, care team, outreach team. There's something powerful about coming together with others and serving together with others and make a difference that makes a difference to the church and to our community. These are great opportunities to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus and to build lasting connections with one another. It's your chance to invest in something that will last. Community, faith, and relationships that can grow our lives and grow God's kingdom. hope you'll take that step today or next week when we have that fair. But we need to start this journey walking and growing together. And I promise you, you won't regret it. But maybe you're here today watching and it sounds appealing. This actually sounds pretty good, but you've never taken that first step of faith to follow Jesus and actually let him lead your life. You need to understand that the church, again, it's not a building. It's not an organization. It's God's family. It's people who have chosen to believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world and receive him as the leader of their lives. None of us are perfect. Amen? We're just forgiven and accepted by God because of our faith in Jesus. And if you'd like to take that step today, I'm going to help you, leading you in a short prayer of confession and commitment to God. You can simply follow along silently. God will hear you. He will forgive you, and he will accept you into his forever family. And if we could all bow our heads together, you know, if that's you today, you want to pray along with me, if you could just let me know by quickly raising your hand who I'm praying with, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus into this world for me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying to pay the penalty for my sin and to restore my relationship with you so I can have peace with God. I admit to living how I wanted and never really realized that you have a better plan for me. So please forgive me. I need your peace in my life, Lord. So please, I ask you to lead me from now on. Thank you for giving me a new purpose in living for you every day and a new family that I can connect with and grow with day to day, week to week, year to year, all through eternity. Thanks, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you did pray that prayer for the first time today, I encourage you, please let me know by filling in a connect card that's in the seat in front of you. If you're online, it's connected to the video stream there. Again, love to connect with you, provide some resources to help you as you start your journey, this new life with Jesus.